Live streaming provided by Alpha Geek Radio and Alpha Geek Video. Visit tunein.alphageekradio.com to learn more.
Finally, Friday is being brought to you this week by Major Spoilers VIPs from around the country. If you are, not even just around the country, around the world! People from all over the place. You name the country, there's probably somebody who is a VIP from there. We would love for you to join the ranks of your fellow countrymen by heading over to members.majorspoilers.com and signing up today. I will get these buttons figured out one of these days. Some weird stuff going on. Hello, everyone. And happy birthday, Kansas. Kansas is 155 years old today. And though the Harvesters never made it into their own series yet, we're glad that you're joining us today for Finally Friday. Before we get into the bulk of the show with your phone calls and our guest Ashley Victoria Robinson again this week, why don't we hit some news? We've been talking Star Wars so much these last couple of months, it's time to give Star Trek some love. CBS and Reed Pop have announced it's launching a Star Trek convention in New York City for 2016. The three-day event will be filled with interactive exhibits, exclusive merchandise, celebrity guests, panels, and screenings as part of the franchise's 50th anniversary. Star Trek Mission New York will take place September 2nd through the 4th at the Javits Center in Manhattan. If you want to get in on this action, you need to head over to StarTrekMissions.com, StarTrekMissions.com, for more. Batman Bad Blood just landed in our laps this week, and we already know what Warner Brothers Animation and DC Entertainment have in store for us next. It's Justice League versus the Teen Titans. What do we know about the movie? Well, Damian screws up a Justice League mission, and Batman forces him to go and train with the Teen Titans. While there, Raven's father Trigon escapes and infiltrates the minds of the Justice League, leaving the Teen Titans to save the day and take down their mentors. We also knew who's going to be the voice actors for this movie. Jason O'Mara returns as Batman, Jerry O'Connell as Superman, Rosario Dawson as Wonder Woman, Shermer Moore as Cyborg, Christopher Gorm as The Flash, Sean Mayer returns as Nightwing, Stuart Allen as Robin, Tasia Farmiga as Raven, Jake T. Austin as Blue Beetle, Brandon Suhu as Beast Boy, Kari Wahlgren as Starfire, and John Bernthal as Trigon. Justice League vs. the Teen Titans arrives on April 12th on Blu-ray, but if you're like me and you want it early, you can get it through various digital formats on March 29th. Here's a first for LEGO, the first minifigure in a wheelchair. Over the years, LEGO has come under fire by groups who want better or more representation in its toys. The Toys Like Me organization, which campaigns to include disabled figures in toy releases, did petition LEGO to include disabled figures, and it looks like the company is listening. The Fun in the Park set, which will arrive in stores this year, was spotted at the Nuremberg Toy Fair, and it looks to be the first set to include a minifigure in a wheelchair. The Fun in the Park set will retail for around $40 in the United States. I'm going to pick it up because we need more regular minifigures in our house. And second, I'm hoping that a lot of people purchasing this set will encourage LEGO to include other figures like this in their sets in the future. In related toy news, hooray for Barbie. Barbie saw a massive change in body types this week as Mattel unveiled new body types for the iconic toy. Barbie dolls will now come in tall, petite, and curvy versions. This follows the toy manufacturer's addition of new skin tones and hair textures in 2015. The new Barbie dolls are on sale now via Barbie.com and will appear in stores later this year. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is a look at your news for this week. Why don't we go ahead and introduce our guest? Oh, let's see. Let me flip the right button here. Ashley Victoria Robinson joins us again this week.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh, you're sounding a little scratchy. Let me try something here. I don't know if this is a issue on our end or a USB issue on your end. Try that.
How about now?
Still a little scratchy. Can you unplug your USB and plug it back in? We have this problem.
Done.
There you go. Now you sound perfect. We actually have this problem a lot. And I think people who use Skype calls and record their Skype calls have probably encountered this occasionally. If suddenly the person on the other end sounds like they're turning into a robot or turning all scratchy, just have the person unplug their USB microphone and plug it right back in, and the problem is solved. Ashley,
that's
how's
so
your
weird.
I know, right? How's your week going? How did your week go? It's finally Friday, after all.
I know, but as I'm sure you know, when you work from home, every day is Friday.
I've been told that, but you know what? It's actually not the case. You know, it's like, I kind of felt bad. My youngest son made me feel bad a couple of weeks ago. I may have mentioned this, but he's like, well, older brother is going to school. I'm going to school. Mom's going to work, and Dad, you're staying home. And I was just like, ugh, you make me feel like I'm not a contributing member of society when you say things like that.
You're like, I know this is a really abstract idea from you, but...
Yeah. But he was just
I'm not just sitting here eating Cheetos.
Right. And I had to say, hey, Dad works from home. Now he's kind of changed it a little bit. He'll say, Dad stays at home. And then he'll pause for a little and he goes, Dad works at home. So I don't know if that's better or not, but yes, it seems like every day is... wear your underpants and nothing else around the house day, except on Fridays when we're doing a live stream. What big projects are you guys working on right now? Or are you working on right now?
Supergirl and Agent Carter review shows.
Yep, you can find those at Major Spoilers.
Jason's doing Legends.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then we're working on a play right now, actually.
Oh, cool.
So that's the big thing. But tonight I'm going to go see William Shatner's live show here in Los Angeles.
Oh, neat. And what is that? What is that show? Is that a retrospective thing of his life, or is he reading from a play
something? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's called William Shatner's World, and you just live in it. So there's a good chance it's going to be terrible, but I'm very much looking forward to it.
Yeah, but it's William Shatner and it's a lot of fun. So I bet it's a lot of tongue in cheek stuff. He seems to be somebody who understands that people make fun of him, and instead of getting angry and upset about it like a lot of people would, he's just like, you know what, I'm just going to roll with the punches and have fun with it.
I think he's coming to that, because it's been like such a big part of his, like, I see how that would be frustrating, but you really have to admire that. It's like, yeah, why not just embrace it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think people have warm up to him a lot better now that he does that. When he knows that he's not a great singer, and yet he's works with all these other musicians and performers to create a whole album. That was just wonderful and brilliant, by the way. You gotta give the guy some props. So
you gotta admire him for doing it, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 785-727-1939. The phone lines are open. We want to hear from you. We've also got a lot of people in the chat room today. Jarmo is there, Jess the Red, Matthew Bach, Olin is there again. I know Olin has tried to call in before.
It's probably my fault why it didn't work.
No. Well, it's actually another Skype problem, to be honest. When we try to set up multiple conversations with Skype, it will either let you start a Skype conversation with a Skype person and then add other Skype people. But if you start a Skype conversation and then try to add people calling in from a phone, it doesn't like that very much. So what you actually have to do is call the phone number first, then add the Skype people to it. It's stupid, to be honest
with
you.
It's not like that's convoluted at all.
I know. There was actually a company not too long ago. I think it was bought out maybe by Skype. I forget. I'd have to go back through my email. But I was looking for a way to have really clear, clean phone connections where we could record everybody's voice track on a separate track so that when we're doing a critical hit, everybody can have their own line essentially that they call into. And I found a company that did it, and they were like, I contacted them and said, here's what I'm trying to do. It sounds like your company's doing it. I really want to try you out. And they're like, yes, 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 yes. Let us know when you're ready to roll this out. And then it was like August, and I contacted them and said, hey, ready to do this. And they're like, we were just bought out and we're closing down our system in 30 days. And I was like, gah!
So I guess it's better that you didn't wind up going with them and it didn't fall through.
Yeah, it did force us to go and find a different solution for recording that, but it was a pain in the butt. And in the process, I did find there are some solutions out there for people that are doing this where you can have multiple instances of Skype open at the same time, and then you can use some routing softwares to send it to the right place. Problem is, this was all working in the previous version of the Mac OS. But when I upgraded over the holiday to this new system that could handle the stream without, overloading itself, guess what? It doesn't work under the new system anymore. So once again, Seems like every, because what I'd love to have is have you on your channel right here, so that we could see you all the time, and then have a caller call in on a separate channel and have that feed through without having to have separate outboard, without having a separate computer, without having separate outboard audio boards and those kinds of things, because that just complicates things.
I also think that if Google Hangouts could like get their nonsense together, like that would be the ideal way to do it, because it's connected into like your Gmail contacts, and that's super great.
Yeah.
But every time I try it, it's even worse than Skype.
Yeah. I've thought about doing some Google Hangouts. In fact, I did a Google Hangout a couple of weeks ago, and just, I don't like when people, you know, if you don't have it, you can only have a limited number of people in the chat at the same time. So it's not like someone can call and then say what they want to say, and then you can drop them off. It's like they're kind of in the channel until either they decide to go away or you bump them off. And I feel like that's sometimes rude, but whatever.
Yeah, but you're like, but sorry, bye.
I know. Olin says, I would try to call, but I have a really bad cold this week. I'm sorry. Seems like this is the perfect time of year to get colds.
Get it out of the way before Valentine's Day.
Yeah. Or unless your significant other doesn't care if you get sick or anything. So
yeah, that's true.
I wanted to talk some spoilers for a moment. So if everyone has not watched this week's episode of DC's Legends of Tomorrow, you
go
might want to
5 minutes.
Go away for a little bit. So what'd you think of part two of the pilot, Ashley?
I don't think it was as strong as part one story-wise. And I didn't quite understand why we had to leave Rip Hunter out of the action. But the show moves so quickly that I almost don't care.
Yeah. I actually like this episode almost as much as I like the first episode, which they're all part of the same episode.
Yeah.
But what I liked is that the team was split up and go and do their thing. So Heatwave and the Atom and Captain Cold all went to go get this Egyptian dagger. Then you had Dr. Stein and Jason and White Canary go and try to find this tracking device at the university where they met up with the young Martin Stein in 1975. And I really like that part of the story a lot. I thought it really had some dynamics. And then at the same time, Hawkman and Hawk Girl are trying to figure out what the inscription says on this ancient dagger that they've gone out to track. And so I like that everybody had something to do in this episode, except Rip Hunter seems like he just steps in whenever he needs to give some exposition, and then he just retreats somewhere that nobody knows.
Yeah, he's kind of a wet blanket in this episode.
Yeah. The other thing that was really weird is this episode takes place in two locations. One is in Russia, and the other one is in Ivytown, which is where the university is that Martin Stein is. And yet, they're supposedly in Russia, and then Rip Hunter goes, Dr. Stein, I want to show you something, and then they're walking out, and they're in Ivytown. So I don't know how they're jumping from location to location so quickly. Obviously,
don't
editing.
Worry but it's, about it.
I know I shouldn't, but that was the one thing that bothered me the most about the episode. Well, maybe one of the things that bothered me the most about the episode. In the episode, and here comes the spoiler part, Hawk Girl and Hawkman have a throwdown with Vandal Savage, and Vandal Savage kills Hawkman.
He does.
Dead.
Mm-hmm.
And what was your reaction to that? You kind of don't like the way the actor does his performance.
No, I really like him. I don't have any time for Hawk Girl.
I think
she's just garbage. So I immediately went to IMDb to see how permanent that death was going to be, because that's a character who reincarnates.
Well, but here's the thing. Here's what Clemmer, who is one of the showrunners, I believe, of the show, he said in an interview with Collider that no, Hawkman is dead. The only way that Hawkman can come back is if Hawk Girl also dies. They can only reincarnate together if they're both dead. However, and here's where IMDb comes in, is that he said he knows for sure, this in the interview, he says, I know for sure in episode 4, Hawkman is back in a flashback sequence where he's teaching Hawk Girl about stuff. She now remember, if you remember at the end of the episode, she was like, oh, I suddenly remember everything and I know why I love him. And you know, she's having this breakdown.
Yeah.
But now that she's unlocked the code, all of her interactions with Hawkman are going to be in the past, or maybe in the future if there's a reincarnation part.
Well, I'll just say that based on IMDb, I know that he's in more than just the fourth episode.
Yeah, the one thing
I think we're going to go and get a future version of him, and he's going to join the team again,
yes,
or something
probably.
Something like that.
I think you're right. I think it's a lot easier than just saying, well, he's dead, let's go pluck him out from, you know, 20 weeks before he met you and and have that interaction go on. I mean, that's the easy thing to do. But yes, IMDb does have him listed for 20 episodes this season.
It sure does.
But Matthew and I were talking about that this week on the Flashback podcast over at members.majorspoilers.com. IMDb is curated by a bunch of different people, you know, fan curation, curation.
You do have to have an IMDb Pro account to edit it. And it is vetted, and you do have to state you're involved. Fans technically, and I'm sure people can get around it, but fans technically can't edit a project. It has to be someone who is connected with the project. And
like
if
an
they
agent
ask
or
you,
something.
An agent or, an actor or a PA or But, you know, I'm sure people have just been like, yeah, I'm a whatever. But well, the idea is, you know, it's supposed to be someone who's working on the project.
I'm curious because what is stopping, you know, this is kind of a major reveal in the show this week that he's dead.
Yeah, that some website sure did write about it 5 o'clock Pacific time.
And spoiled it for everyone else.
Yeah, yeah.
But here's the thing. What's preventing producers or somebody involved in the show from going over to IMDb and putting him in all of these episodes as a let's throw everyone off? Is there anything that prevents that? That prevents spoilers like that?
No, there's not really. I mean, not with the age and the way that like journalism is, you know, that we're living in. I admire that they were able to get the headline, hey, we killed off a main character in the second episode.
Right.
You know, like that's an interesting, it's an interesting thing to do. And it's an interesting way to tell the story. But as soon as, cause I saw that headline, you know, like that they'd killed off a main character, and I was like, oh, it's one of the Hawks because they could come back.
Right. Right. You know? That makes sense. Right.
But I mean, I don't know. Sarah died on Arrow and now she's still working. So nothing's too permanent in the Berlantiverse.
Oh yeah. Get him to a Lazarus pit.
Yeah, where's Tommy? Where's Tommy?
Let's go to the phone lines. Hi, who's this?
Hey, this is Bill from Arlington. How are you guys doing?
Hey, Bill, you sound great on this phone call. Are you you're calling in on Skype?
Actually, I'm calling in on the iPhone, hands-free, driving home from my first day of work after a historic snowfall here in the D.C. area.
Well, congratulations on finding a new job or having a new job, right? Second, congratulations on being able to drive home in the snow, because I understand many parts of the city are still blocked because of snow removal.
Yeah, and being safe.
And third, you got a fantastic sounding voice coming in on this phone call.
Oh, thank you. That's my Tweaked Audio headphones. What can I say?
Hey, see everybody?
Hey.
TweakedAudio.com. Use the checkout code MAJOR. 33% off the price.
Shameless plug.
Yep. What's going on with you this week? What's on your mind?
Nothing much. I just wanted to call and make sure you and Matthew were still talking after your last going reviews.
Actually, we talked about this. We talked about this on the Major Spoilers podcast this week because a lot of that discussion led into this thing that we discussed on this week's show about Rebirth, the Dan DiDio and Jim Lee announcement that came out this week or last week. Actually, it was this time last week. I think they sent it out on their Twitter. So, yeah, that kind of led into our discussion. But, everything's fine.
Yeah.
It's funny because I first discovered the Major Spoilers podcast about 6 years ago in the middle of a snowstorm. I wanted something to entertain myself while I was shoveling snow. And I must have listened. It was the last – that was during Snowmageddon. Snowzilla. I feel like you guys are old friends during Snowvilla. Snowzilla. I'm literally in 2 feet of snow trying to shovel out the car, listening to you and Matthew saying, Mommy, Daddy, please stop fighting.
Yep, we will disagree at times. Matthew has different takes on it than I do, but everything's cool.
I love it. I appreciate the entertainment because it was I know this is probably not a big deal for, you know, for Kansas or Canadian snowfalls, but for DC, this was pretty big business.
Oh,
my daughter's school is still closed.
Still closed, yeah. It's in Western Kansas. We're kind of we're in the High Plains, which is a little bit different than Eastern Kansas that Ashley's been to, where it's much more humid, much more moisture, and much more snowfall this time of year. So. We had snow a couple of weeks ago, and that was about 4 inches, and that was considered significant. The most we've had in probably the last 12 years that I've lived here, 15 years that I've lived here, we've had 10 inches in one drop, and that was the most we've ever had. 20 years ago when I was a student here, there was one where we had 2 feet of snow in 24 hours, but we rarely get that much moisture here. So, yes, well, it'd be pretty crazy if we had the amounts that you got.
It did give me the opportunity to dig a little bit into Tale of Tallest Rabbit. So,
oh, cool.
So, Rodrigo, reading that with my daughter. Mm-hmm. And on the complete other side, to finish watching Jessica Jones, which I know you guys talked about on the last Major Spoilers podcast.
Now, hopefully you didn't watch that with your daughter.
No. No, not even. I didn't watch that one with my wife. That was too brutal.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I know you all have differing thoughts, but I did enjoy it. I thought it was a pretty good representation of the comic. They did lean a little heavy on the purple. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
I did notice that. And I'm not a film guy, but it did jump out even at me.
Yeah, yeah. And I hate mentioning that to people, because if they never paid attention to it, as soon as I tell them and they're halfway through the show, then that's all they focus on for the rest of the show. And then they curse me.
Yeah, and Ashley, I hope you never have to watch it again or spend another hour on it.
Well, season two's coming, so. But I appreciate that.
It was dark. It really was, it was definitely not the feel-good series of the year.
Mm-hmm. No.
No,
I'm rewatching Daredevil, so it's okay.
And yeah. Luke Cage is just around the corner, and Luke Cage may come in November. There was a teaser image that Marvel sent out this week that had Jessica Jones like case files, and mm-hmm. one of them was labeled Luke-November.
I'm so excited.
I dug, just like you, I really dug Mike Coulter as Luke Cage. I thought he did a fantastic job. I'm really happy they cast who to me was an unknown, because mm-hmm. I just thought it was great.
I just thought he really came out of nowhere. It was like, it was so amazing that he was that dynamic, because I think there too, they gave him some lines where you're like a lesser actor, it would have been a really bad line read.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just so impressed with him.
Yeah.
I feel that way about Scott Bakula too on Star Trek Enterprise. You're like, woof, that's a weird line that you just made totally comprehensible.
Anything else?
Well, that's all I had, guys. No, I just wanted to call and say hello, and thanks for keeping up the good work.
All right, thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
Safe.
Drive safe. Be careful wherever you're at. So there you go. Yeah, I'm looking at the IMDb page for Mike Coulter. And
I mean, he was a working actor. It's not like he.
Oh yeah, no, he's got a lot
of
stuff.
Nowhere,
no, he's got a lot of stuff on there. It's just interesting how much he has. Especially when it comes to comic properties that are coming up. You know, obviously he's got Luke Cage in there, which mm-hmm. IMDb has listed as coming out in 2016. The Defenders coming out in 2016, which would be wow if that happened.
Like we get Luke Cage in November and then Defenders for Christmas. That'd
that
be awesome.
That would be a heck of a Christmas present, let me tell you.
I think they'd surprise a lot of people.
I'm not familiar with this Agent X TV series from 2015.
Yeah, I saw that and I was like the Deadpool character.
Yeah. So I don't know what that's about. But then we've got, you know, he's been in The Good Wife and Halo Nightfall as a voice actor, or no, actually in the TV series and a lot more. So yeah, he's got a really deep resume there for acting. So he's good.
He's legit. He's also super tall.
Yeah. Have you got to meet him? Have you met him?
Yeah, I met him at the TCAs a couple weeks ago, and there's always if you want, at the end, they leave a little bit where if you want to come up and speak to people, you can, and get in whatever an exclusive, you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I just want to talk to Mike Coulter. And I'm like, I'm 5'5", like I'm not super tall, but
right.
He's probably a good foot and change taller than I am.
Oh, okay, cool.
So I was cool. Man, like you're just really big.
Well, I know, I want to talk a little bit more about this. In this next week's Major Spoilers podcast, this next week on Major Spoilers podcast, we have a couple of interviews. We'll be talking with an animation historian, and we'll also be talking with Brian Clevenger again of Atomic Robo to kind of check
Sweet.
In with where everything has come a year after them moving over to an online-only distribution model. But there was something that came out this week that had a lot of people talking, and that is Scooby-Doo Apocalypse.
Oh, man.
Are you excited about this or not?
I'm so excited about it. I love Scooby-Doo. I used to come home from school at lunch, and that's what we would watch. Mm-hmm. And I still have on my desk right there, I have a little Velma action figure. And I thought that the artwork looked really, really cool. And I think that DC is maybe trying to lean kind of into the Afterlife with Archie model.
Mm-hmm. I could, you know, if that is how Scooby-Doo Apocalypse is being handled, if it's being approached like the Afterlife with Archie, I think it could be really, really interesting if they did. But with Afterlife with Archie, they kind of kept everyone on model, right? And
yeah,
this one has, you know, the thing that people are just like, oh, hell no, about is hipster Shaggy, which is, you know, I can understand the updating of Shaggy from slacker, doper Shaggy that we may have known, hippie Shaggy from the 60s, to a hipster today. I can follow that. I can follow that logic. But I love Jim Lee. I love his art. But unfortunately, Velma looks too much like Fairchild.
I think she looks awesome.
She does, but she looks just like Fairchild from Gen 13, which he helped create. And then a lot of people were kind of upset that Velma looks to be like a much, much, much younger girl.
I don't know. I think they're just drawing her small.
Hmm.
But it's interesting that I think that's the take that everybody took. The thing that I really hope for is that what was the last Scooby-Doo cartoon? Mystery Inc.?
Yeah, Mystery Inc., I believe, yeah.
I hope that they build on kind of the implied characteristics about Velma, mm-hmm, and introduce some more diversity that way. Mm-hmm. I think they're in a really neat position with what they're doing with that reboot to, you know, not only make it relevant, but diversify even amongst their like all white person cast.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I thought the image looked really cool. And then Howard Porter drew a Scooby-Doo yesterday. So I was like, I'm all on board.
That's the one that he's working with. And we know Howard Porter. I don't know how you know him. I know him through Scott Johnson and everybody at Nerdtacular and everything. Very cool guy.
He's friends with Jason.
Oh, okay. then there's also the Wacky Races is coming back. And they have, at least for the first, well, it makes sense if you think about Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah.
To come in on this first story arc or first issue, they're actually bringing in one of the people from Mad Max Fury Road to help design the issue. So it looks very futuristic there. And then the other one, and this is the one that I am most excited about, is the Johnny Quest Future Quest that Space Ghost, Johnny Quest, the humanoids or the inhumanoids. That is art by Doc Shaner, and I love Doc Shaner's art, and he has been fooling around with the Johnny Quest characters for years. You can go back into the Art Appreciation of the Moment archives and see his stuff. It's always fantastic. So I am really excited to see how this one works. I'm hoping that it keeps the spirit of Johnny Quest. And again, nothing against Dynamite or Chris Roberson or anybody who's working on Doc Savage. But when you modernize Doc Savage, you lose something in the translation. Mm-hmm. And if they try to futurize Johnny Quest too much, I think it's going to be like that animated show from a couple of years ago that also was not very good, Johnny Quest 2000 or whatever it was.
Yeah, Johnny Quest, though, I think of all the properties is the one that needs the most addressing as far as an update goes, because it has the original incarnation has some slightly racist things.
Oh, yeah, not slightly. A lot of racist things.
Yeah, so I'm really interested to see how they try to tackle that, because there is something... There's something to be said for even when your property is like steeped in its time period, there's something to be said for, it's like with James Bond, you know, like kind of a nod to where it came from and where it's grown to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that could lead to some really, really interesting stories.
Yeah.
But I like that they're using that as the way to fold in some of their weirder properties as well, like Space Ghost.
Oh, yeah. I think it's really cool. Here's a question that I have, though, about all of this. I mean, we'll talk more about this next week on the Major Spoilers podcast. But on the Major Spoilers podcast this week, we're talking about Rebirth. And one of the things I said is the Rebirth is up against what looked to be like the curtains that you would have on a movie or something television related.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Rebirth is this, or do you think Rebirth is something else?
I think this might be a leg of it, but I think it's probably going to be something to do with the larger universe. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was just interesting because Dan DiDio and Jim Lee are both all over this project in a number of different ways, the Hanna-Barbera project. But when the article appeared on Entertainment Weekly, they didn't say anything about Rebirth. So that's why I was wondering if it was somehow related to that or not. So maybe our listeners have some ideas. 785-727-1939. Or if you are on Skype, just look for Steven_Schleicher. And we would love to talk with you on this Friday.
That's right.
I have seen Venture Brothers, which is a humorous update of Johnny Quest. But if you, I mean, if you were, I don't know, anywhere from the 1960s forward until they stopped syndicating Johnny Quest, that was an awesome show to see, especially in some of the very first seasons where it was like heavy on the spy stuff and heavy on the adventure stuff. But yeah, there were times where it became rather uncomfortable to see their arch nemesis and also some of the things that they had said about Haji at multiple times seemed kind of out of place.
So. I also don't know if you can keep that character's name anymore, really.
I don't know. That will be something to, I mean,
you know, that's the thing is like
name,
how
right?
it is. But it's also like, I don't know. It's that line where like in Huckleberry Finn, Joe's name is not Joe.
Right. Right.
But yeah. When you see a lot of updated play versions of it, we just call him Joe.
Right. Right.
Because that's the world that we live in now.
You know, they really do that. That's interesting because the whole thing about that word mm-hmm. is there's that whole piece by where Huckleberry Finn is saying, do I go and rescue my friend or do I not? And mm-hmm. he says, if I go and rescue him, this is what they're going to call me. And so be it. And that's a huge defining moment for him to use that word mm-hmm. is really big and defining moment for Huckleberry Finn in his transition as a character. So, how do they deal with that particular scene?
I just know that I've never done that show, but I know people who've been in either Big River or the play specifically. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Joe's usually a character in both of them. And if it is a show that is being marketed very heavily to like a school as like a children's experience, mm-hmm. they just don't say it.
Mm-hmm. I remember seeing Big River a long time ago.
Big River's awesome.
It is really good. I lived in Atlanta at the time. So, it is really good. I just remember seeing that as it was college performance. Really good. So, okay. You, I saw when I was talking about Barbie, we're super excited about Barbie.
Oh my God, I'm so excited about Barbie.
Why is this awesome? I mean, I know why it's awesome. I think most of our listeners know why it's awesome. But what makes you most excited about this?
I mean, I liked Barbie when I was a little kid, and my parents did a really good job with my dolls in making sure that we had diversity. Like, I mm-hmm. had a black Barbie, and I had, like, the tan in-between color Barbie, and I had the wheelchair Barbie, mm-hmm. and, like, so that was something that I always grew up with, and there's a certain point where when it's not good enough anymore to just change the color of the doll's skin.
Right, right.
Because, you know, not all white people look like all black people or mm-hmm. all Hispanic people or all Asian people. Like, the bone structure is different, mm-hmm. You know, because of genetics. But not only that, like, the way that the dolls are, it's different aesthetics, which I think is really important. It's different hairstyles. And it's within, like, here's our African-American girls. There is color differences and there's a couple different Asian models. And mm-hmm. I know that psychologically it's really important for when you're growing up to have toys that look like you and that represent you. And I think in a world that is shifting towards more like biracial children and, mm-hmm. you know, like for lack of a less delicate term, like mixed breeding among humanity, I think that that's really important. And then it's also a way to let kids from an early age kind of lean towards their own aesthetic because there's a doll with a fade cut. Like, how cool is that? She almost has the same hair as me.
we only showed a small sampling of all the Barbies. I mean, there's 27 of them out there now. And we only showed, I think I only showed about 10 of them here. But if you go to time.com, or maybe even just Barbie.com, you can see all of them there. And I think it's kind of cool, too, because, you know, there unfortunately is that proportion aesthetic that unfortunately people have this ideal of, oh, Barbie was this, and so all women must look like this. And unfortunately, when you look at the adult film industry, too many of them try to make themselves look like Barbie, and it doesn't work. And of course, people who are watching that then influences, again, their notion of what sex and sexuality should be, mm-hmm. and it doesn't work and creates bigger problems in the end. So I'm really glad that Mattel decided to do this with their Barbie dolls. I knew they had done different skin tones and hairstyles last year, but now to have different shapes and actually more realistic shapes.
Yeah.
I don't know if they still sell the classic Barbie or how she's going to handle all of this.
I'm assuming she's still going to be a huge part of the line. Like, let's not give them too much credit.
Right. but yeah, someone says, Olin says, it's a huge leap forward. It's taken long enough. It's 2016. And an article, and I don't know if it was a Time magazine article or another article that I was reading today about the announcement, about the news, it said, and we can see this with the Star Wars toys as well, it takes, the toy industry is one of the slowest to adopt to change.
I mean, they kept Rey out of...
And yeah, look at
Rey. All the giant packs of toys. Like, you're going to tell me that a random stormtrooper with the orange shoulder piece is more important than the protagonist?
Yeah. Now, I'll admit, whenever I went on that Friday, that Star Wars Friday or Star Wars Toy Day, there were a lot of Rey figures mixed in with the stuff. But when you look at, like, expansion packs that had, you know, like 6-in-1, there was no Rey figure there.
Exactly.
But if you wanted the BB-8 figure in that 6-inch scale, you had to buy the Rey figure in order to get that. So, you know, there were a lot of Rey figures, but when you look at other toys and people are like, where is Rey in this? Or where is Rey in this set? Or where is Rey here? And
it's not
included.
Where is Gamora? Where is Black Widow? She's not even on the boys' clothing merchandise.
Right. And my kids, frankly, don't care. I mean, the youngest loves playing with Poison Ivy in the Disney Infinity stuff.
Awesome.
Because she shoots those little darts out and hits Mason and drives Mason up the wall because Mason's like, knock it off. Now, granted, you could do that with other toys, but he just likes the little darts that shoot out of her hand and kills his older brother. So, you know, there's some good stuff there. But, yeah, I'm kind of really excited about this and hope that that we see these on the shelves and not just one or two of them on the shelves. Amidst all the other Barbies out there.
Yeah, so that'll be the interesting thing when it launches, A, to see if there's a big buying frenzy.
Mm-hmm.
And then to see, yeah, what the percentage is going to be to, like, the classic Barbie model.
Yeah, another, I think it was the Time magazine article, was talking about how, you know, granted, as Olin said, this is 2016, why is it taking them so long? Well, sales are starting to finally suffer. And when sales start to suffer, you need to look at other ways to make money. And if they see that there is an untapped wallet or pocketbook out there, they're going to try to reach into it as quickly as they can. So in this case, even though the industry moves very slowly, the fact that they finally realize that there's another economic group out there to get money from, they're going to move on to that. Here's my fear, though. Go ahead with what you were going to say.
I was going to say, there's a video of a lady who, she takes the Bratz dolls, which are very, like, hyper, and she makes them look like normal girls, and you're like, oh my God, they're so much better this way.
Yes, I know. And I've never understood the Bratz dolls. I don't understand those Halloween, whatever the Halloween high school thing
is. Oh yeah, Monster High.
Monster High. I don't understand those, but yes, if you guys have not seen this, I thought we'd put that up on Major Spoilers, but I know you can find it on YouTube. But it's a woman who takes these Brat dolls that have been tossed aside, and she essentially takes paint thinner and strips off all the makeup on them and gives them natural eyes, natural-looking complexions, and they look radically different. And she sells them, or I don't know if she sells them or gives them away. I don't know what the deal is. She's got an Etsy store, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But she can't make them fast enough because kids love these so much. There was a Kickstarter that I had supported not too long ago. It's by the same people who make Ugly Dolls. And
oh, yeah, yeah.
They had it was like a realistic girl, and I forget what her name was, and my mouse is not working. I would go look. But they had a great campaign where it was this girl who was all about science and exploring and game design and coding and all this stuff. And it was like a 10-inch figure. It was a fairly large size figure. It came with normal clothes, normal proportions for the girl. And I was like, I've got to have one of these just because this is such a cute design, such a lasting design. But unfortunately, they didn't get enough sales.
Oh,
they didn't get
no.
enough on the Kickstarter for it to succeed. And I was really disappointed in that. I can't find it right off the top. Because it is failed. It failed about a month ago.
But I'm waiting for the Faith action figure to be made, and I'll buy 10 of them.
Well, so do you think that, I mean, when we look at that, Faith seems to be one of these early characters that does have sometimes a more realistic body proportion beyond the supermodel body proportion. Do you think now with the success of Faith, which is already going into, a third reprinting?
Yep.
Are we going to see more of those type body types in other books? Are we going to see a more curvy heroine or hero in the Avengers or in Spider-Man or anything like that?
I hope so. And I think it's going to happen for women faster than it's going to happen for men because we're screaming about it a little bit more.
Mm.
But it's not even that it has to be like a curvy girl or someone who's overweight. For me, it's more about the diversity of body types because there are, like, I know those girls who are like super skinny and it's not because they're dieting, all like that's just the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, again, it's that thing like about little kids, like you want something that looks like you.
Right.
And when the average weight of a woman in the United States is 160 pounds and she's 5'4", that's not a supermodel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that like demographics like that are worth looking at as well. But it's also, I also get that when you're marketing, you know, Barbie, whether or not I buy a Barbie doll is moot because it's a company and it's a product that's marketed to children. And when you're working in the shadow of a Disney princess, I understand that that is tough as well because that's the market that you're feeding to begin with.
Yeah. Here's a picture. I know you can't see it, Ashley, but here's the picture of the Unidoll and Kitty. It's from Dream Big Friends. And I just thought that this figure was great. I thought it was really cool. And I like that they were trying to explore her in different environments and doing different things, and just seemed like a really neat, here's Yuna's characteristics: to dream big, to one day establish her own commercial rocket company. Big love, rockets, photography, painting, and drawing. Big moves. This summer, her art will be featured in a group show at the Giant Robot Gallery. And I like her favorite music is K-pop. So it's a shame that one failed, but I'm hoping that they bring that back in the near future. So maybe you can go over to dreambigfriends.com and see if they have any updates on this figure. So
I'm trying to look it up.
Yeah. And I think my mouse is about to die, so we better get on to a shot that's a little bit more important. Just the Red says, I love the Barbie update, if only for the psychological effect on little girls and the damage that forcing 50s ideals upon generations of girls. Also, yay diversity.
I agree.
And listeners, we'd love to hear from you. 785-727-1939, or you can call us on the Skype line, Steven_Schleicher. And here we have a call. See, all you have to do is ask, and someone will answer, maybe. Oh, mouse, come here. Here we go. Hi, who's this?
Hey, guys, it's Nato. How's it going?
Hey, man.
What's going on, Nate?
Hey, what's up? Nothing. Doing a little PTA, doing a little driving. Happy that it's not storming and tornadoing again this week.
Yeah, definitely.
We had actually another, 2 days ago? It rained for basically 2 days straight. And another tornado hit, too, and basically picked up a tractor trailer and threw it across a building or something.
I saw that. I did see that on the news. I saw that, and then somebody, another podcaster friend that I know, all of his solar panels on his house just were peeled away. He showed the picture, and it's just like they were curved up and peeled away like someone peeled a banana on his house. And
that's
all
nuts.
Because of the storm, yeah.
Florida's dangerous.
Well, for many reasons, so, but yes, the weather is one of them.
So the whole Barbie action figure line and stuff, my two cents about it is my daughter, now granted I've, you know, encouraged her to watch certain comic booky type things, but her nature is if there was more of that out there, for, you know, female characters and stuff, I'd be snatching that stuff up left and right for her.
Mm-hmm.
And as it is, she's buying, like, you know, hey, do you want this, you know, Disney princess, or do you want Wolverine? I want Wolverine.
Right.
Okay, there you go.
Oh, DC so, Superhero Girls is made just for her.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But is there a toy line associated with that? Because I have not seen anything.
Oh, yes, there are.
I try to make a habit of trying to go down the quote-unquote girls' toy aisle at least once a month.
It's not out yet.
Oh, okay.
There were, let me see if I can find pictures, but they were at New York Comic Con, rather, and they're like Barbie-sized dolls.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
awesome. I think they're going to come out in the fall tandem with the show.
Ah, okay. Well, we've been running a lot of the little shorts up on the website.
I'm so excited. And,
yeah, that does look really exciting. No, I agree with you. I think there would, if there were more products, people would buy them. I mean, it's just dumb to think that you can shut out 50% of your potential audience for comic books, for toys, whatever, just because you don't think girls are into superheroes or boys won't buy a girl toy, quote unquote girl toy.
And I'll tell you one thing, though. Like, I've gone to different events and STEM events and science and stuff. And I tell you, I'll wear my, like, my Doctor Who shirt, or I'll wear some other, you know, comic book thing. And I'm telling you, every single, you know, female that's there is, oh, my God, that's a cool shirt. Oh, my gosh, that's so neat. Mm-hmm. Or they're wearing, like, similar stuff to me. So I don't know what marketing they're looking at, but I don't see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's, like you said, there's a market out there for, you know, I hate to say female audience, but, you know, even for dads to buy stuff for kids or boys or whatever, you know, it's just, stuff's there, needs to be made.
Oh, man, these action figures that I'm showing right now. Holy crap, these are good sculpts. These are really nice toys. I'm looking at the Supergirl one right now. That is a, that's a good toy.
I saw them and I was like, where can I buy these right now? And they're like, you can't. And I was like, please let me buy them right now.
Well, I know my wife will be all over the Wonder Woman ones. She'll probably want to get, I mean, she likes Wonder Woman and Batgirl a lot. I'm going to bet she's going to take a look at this Supergirl action figure and want, she's probably going to want all of these. And they even
they're doing novels as well, which I think is cool.
Yep.
I'll have to probably buy them all. So, because I can't even watch Supergirl unless my daughter's with me now.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, yeah, I think it's pretty cool. So, but the only other thing I want to bring up is, I don't know if you're following him or not, but Matthew Wood, who is basically, I guess he's like the sound editing chief or some weird thing like that for Skywalker Sound.
Mm-hmm.
He actually posted a list of all the cameo roles for voice roles that were done in The Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was kind of neat because he actually does the voice of Grievous and the droids and stuff. So I just thought that was kind of neat of all the different stars and the different people that just did cameo voice roles for all that stuff. I thought it was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I like Daniel Craig's a lot.
Yeah. And once you find out that it's him, it's like, holy cow. And the cool thing is he's just like, I just wanted to do it just so I could be in it. It wasn't for any kind of, you know, special thing. It's just because he was a Star Wars fan.
Yeah. But it's also cool that that they were open to that and that they celebrated that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep.
But other than that, that's pretty much my week. So, and actually, congratulations on finalizing the Red Shirt Diaries. I haven't watched the final episode yet, but I just want to say thanks for putting it out there and thanks a lot for doing it. And at least we have 30 episodes to keep watching and watching and watching until, you know, you make your billions of dollars and then, like, you know, cute little side project you do. It's like, oh, you know, why don't we do this again?
Yeah. Thank you. That means a lot. Because everyone's giving me grief about it.
Oh, God, no.
I've never understood that when someone creates something and does all this hard work and does it, why? I mean, unless it's, you know, I don't know. I mean, heck, I love Hudson Hawk and everyone hates that movie. So I guess I'm, you know, he's in the high of the beholder. But I appreciate, because God knows I can't do anything as creative like that. So I appreciate all the hard work you guys did. And I've enjoyed every single episode and hopefully the last one soon.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Yeah, someone wrote us an essay about how this was our seminal work and we shouldn't be foolish enough to stop doing it. That's my favorite one so far.
Well, I mean, that's certainly positive, but.
And I was like, thank you.
But you guys are young and have so far to go, so I wouldn't think
that. I guess
that
not, though.
You've got mountains to climb still.
No, that's it. We've peaked.
Well, you guys have a good weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Be
thanks,
safe.
Mate. Bye.
Yeah, bye.
Yeah, I mean, Red Shirt Diaries did wrap up. It is kind of sad. I did like that you ended on a humorous note, darkly humorous note. But it was really good, and I can't wait to see what you guys do with that next.
Thank you.
Providing you don't get sued by anybody.
I think we'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not worried.
Let's see. What else is going on that you wanted to talk about?
DC dropped their new Justice League show announcement.
Oh, right. The when is that?
Justice League Action.
Justice League Action. I don't think they sent me that.
No, but I put it up.
Oh, did you? Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. That's okay. Now I'm looking at the image. Now that I'm looking at the image, I'm like, oh, yeah, that image was up there. And I, for some reason, I thought it was tied back into the Justice League thing. So what is Justice League Action about?
They've just announced that it's going to be their newest show on Cartoon Network. And it seems like I think there's a quote in there that they are trying to do more with Justice League, like what they did with Brave and the Bold and Teen Titans Go.
Mm-hmm.
So keep it kind of more fun and less. Mm-hmm. They're like, we did the dark thing already. But it has Kevin Conroy's returning as Batman, Mark Hamill's returning as the Joker, Diedrich Bader's coming on as Booster Gold. So I'm excited for it.
Wow, that sounds great. When does this launch?
I think it launches in the fall.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean,
I also think because they're waiting for that, they should have a cartoon before the Justice League movie comes out.
yeah, definitely. It's interesting because, you know, DC had announced that, you know, or Disney had announced we're bringing back DuckTales and we're bringing back Darkwing Duck and we're bringing back. Haven't seen any of those drop yet. And that was like a year ago that they announced it. And we are still have not seen anything. I think they said maybe 2017, but it seems like why would you announce something 2 years ahead of time unless it was to, I don't know, stir up toy companies to start pitching you ideas or something? I don't know, but
I also think it's weird if you're Disney and you own Marvel that you're going to do Darkwing Duck, which is essentially Batman.
Well, but Darkwing Duck was Disney's version of the Shadow and all back in the day. So it makes sense for them to kind of continue on to that.
Well, and he's massively popular, of course, but
The characters are definitely massively popular. I remember when that show first was on the air and I was in college. It was great. There is something. Here's a rumor. This is the only time I really like talking about rumors. And it makes a lot of sense. I heard from somebody who's kind of in the know that we may be hearing about a certain House of Mouse buying a certain toy company before the end of the year.
Oh, interesting.
And it makes sense whenever you find out. I mean, if you know, I mean, it's Disney buying Hasbro. But that makes total sense because who's making all the Disney toys right now? Hasbro.
Yeah.
Who's making all the Star Wars toys? Hasbro. So,
which toy company has been trying to launch movie franchises unsuccessfully?
Hasbro. Yep. That Stretch Armstrong. Isn't Stretch Armstrong Hasbro?
Yeah, I think so.
Stretch Armstrong, that movie had been, I mean, if you go back into the archives at Major Spoilers, I believe that story was like 2011, 2012 that they were starting to produce on that. And now it looks like finally Netflix is going to maybe take it over. But yeah, Hasbro has not been good on the front when it comes to spinning off some of their property type stuff. It's usually through, like, I don't think they do My Little Pony, but it's through acquisitions like that where they seem to be making their money. Of course, the big thing that Matthew in the chat might be wanting to pay attention on that is who owns Wizards of the Coast? Hasbro.
Oh.
Who owns the
Ouija
board?
When's that movie coming?
Well, I mean, look, let's just say that Warcraft does really, really well.
Yeah.
And Blizzard Entertainment doesn't maybe not want to work with Disney, and they're happy with Legendary. Makes sense to have a whole different universe that you can explore, and also with Magic, a whole other universe to explore with those kind of characters. So that is a rumor that I heard. I'm going to say that it's a rumor, but it was from someone who is kind of involved in some stuff that was working with somebody, and it was passed along to me. I was like, well, that's certainly interesting. And if they do it, they will make the announcement at the end of the year. They won't make it at the beginning of the year. So,
yeah, probably. That would be very interesting, though.
Is it even legal for Disney to own Hasbro? Jarmo was asking. Of course it is.
Why wouldn't it be?
It's not. I mean, certainly from the stockholder shareholder standpoint, they would have to go through any kind of, is this stifling creativity? Is this forcing any other businesses out?
Well, and you can't create a monopoly.
And yeah, they're not creating a toy monopoly any more so than they've created a movie monopoly, because you still have Mattel and Lego. I don't know who owns Fisher-Price. But, you know, as long as you have a lot of other toy companies manufacturing stuff, it's not going to be a big deal. In fact, if it is true, you probably ought to buy your Hasbro stock now.
Yeah, for real though.
Yeah, because if that happens, this is going to be a big to do, and it's going to be a several billion dollar acquisition is going to be my guess. So, rumor, only rumor.
Yeah, unequivocally
stating
that.
Let's speculate about something that might not ever happen. So do not take investing advice from me or from Ashley or from Major Spoilers in general.
Yeah,
so.
Really, don't take it from me.
But it is odd that sometimes we will ruminate or speculate about things and suddenly it happens.
Yes.
Like my desire to have the turtle on the Flash, and suddenly the turtle is there. And
I was kind of disappointed with his fate.
So was I. A man, I wish they would stop killing. Because here's the problem. You can only have a finite number of villains that you can have that have any ties to the comics. But again, most TV audiences don't care about the comics. But when you kill these characters off, you are wasting potential future storylines.
You're also, like, Freak of the Week is not the way we tell stories anymore.
Supernatural's been on for 11 years.
I just like to pretend that show doesn't exist.
Smallville went on for 8 years or something like that.
That's true.
I mean, Freak of the Week kind of is the name of the game for a lot of these shows. But I think reoccurring Freak of the Week, building up a rogues gallery, not just waiting to spin them off onto another show, but building up a gallery of people that can come back time and time again. And I don't care if DC wants to go in and have a character falling down off the cliff and say, Flash, I will be back to get you.
Yeah.
And, you know, falling into the river below. I don't care if they do something like that, but they need to stop killing off these characters week after week, because Barry's a murderer, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when
I
you
think
about it.
Aaron Douglas is a really good actor, and they've kind of wasted him.
Yeah, that I really loved his portrayal as a turtle. It was great.
I also keep waiting for Pied Piper to come back, because I thought he was just like, he took this really sort of lame character and made him very interesting.
Yes.
And he's just sitting in a cell somewhere doing stuff.
Well, we don't even know if he's sitting in a cell. Did he not escape? Didn't he escape with that prisoner transfer with Captain Cold?
Maybe.
I think he escaped. So, I mean, there have got to be ways to bring these characters back and make them interesting. So I hope that they listen to that.
Yeah, so, listen.
Yeah, listen. Yes, it's so much more fun, says Sierra, to have villains return and have some new stories.
It's also a lot easier on the casting people.
It is. It is. I'm sure it is. I don't know. Is there something about a recurring character that changes the pricing structure of how actors get paid?
If you appear, I think, on TV more than 5 times, then I think you get a bump.
I see. Well,
but I mean, everyone on the CW is pretty much working for scale, so it's not that much.
Yeah. All right. Anything else you want to talk about this week? We are basically out of time this week, but is there anything you want to pitch or plug?
Just Geek History Lesson. We're doing Edwin Jarvis this week.
Yes, great episode. Listen to it today.
All the recap shows that we do, you can find those on majorspoilers.com.
Yep. All right, Ashley, thank you so much. And thank you, everyone, for joining us this week for Finally Friday. If you didn't get a call in this week, then please make a point of calling in next week, because although I love talking with Ashley all the time, we also enjoy talking with you just as much. So tune in next week. Finally Friday will be here. I hope you will join us, too, when we finally get to Finally Friday. Take care, everyone. Have a great week.